That the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus had just come down from the mountain with his disciples, and on a level place, he begins to teach the great crowd of all his disciples, reminding us these teachings are for all of us, not just the 12. Beyond that, the proximity of the mountain reminds us of Matthew's sermon, the one on the mount, the one in Luke here, because of the level place, is called the Sermon on the Plain. The two sermons have quite a few commonalities. They follow a similar outline: beatitudes, ethical teachings toward neighbors and enemies, and encouragement towards love. Matthew has more of the sermon to report. His sermon is nearly 3 chapters long. Luke edits his down to only 1. Yet at the same time, the two sermons diverge from one another. Matthew spiritualizes the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke simply says, blessed are the poor. Luke takes some things away, moves the order about, and adds bits and pieces that make the sermon a bit more illustrative. Both talk about fair and just giving. Give and it will be given to you. But Luke is the one who adds this: give a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, all will be poured into your lap. The images of the farmer's wife or daughter extending her cloak as she would at the harvest time to get her share of the grain so that she can, and she can scarcely carry it off for the weight of it all. God's gracious goodness is always generous. Both evangelists, Mark and Luke, report the high ethical teachings of Jesus in these sermons. There were many others of Jesus' day who also urged people to high standards, but Jesus calls his followers to an even higher standard than those of the day. Jesus calls his followers to a high ethic. In the ethics of the Roman world, it was considered all right to treat one's friends well, but when it came to one's opponents, you didn't necessarily have to treat them as well as you treated your friends. Jesus raises the bar for us disciples, however, encouraging us to treat our enemies as though they were friends and family. These are not easy to do. It is hard enough to love our friends and family, let alone our enemies. If people curse us, it's hard to come back with a blessing. When we're in the traffic and someone gives you a finger, what's your first reaction? Probably mine too. At least the first reaction. I don't always carry through on it. We are constantly challenged here in Corvallis to do something about people who have substandard housing or no housing at all. All summer long, we went back and forth over where we were going to locate the men's shelter and other things that would help those folks. People in town actually got to the point where they were threatening each other with lawsuits. Even now, the people in Eugene are debating whether or not to make it illegal to give something to people from your car. Jesus tells us we are to give to everyone who begs from us. And while we're at it, we should give them our jackets too. Jesus is relentless in these sermons. He is encouraging us to lend, to do good and love even our enemies, all without expecting anything in return. And you notice there is nothing in this sermon about loving the sinner but hating the sin. Jesus is calling us to a higher ethic than that. We are simply called to love unconditionally, to love and love and love some more, to give and give some more, generously, cheerfully. When our neighbors need to borrow something, we are called to help them. We sometimes do that with family whom we love. Often families are generous to one another, making loans for all sorts of things, sometimes phone bills, car repairs, even cars themselves, and even down payments on houses. We may even forgive the debt before it is totally paid off. We do that sort of thing for kin. Jesus is telling us we should always be that generous with all people. What if we came up, for instance, with a microloan system so that more people might benefit from that sort of lending? Some of us are already quietly doing that. Now, that's something that Jesus would encourage. It is the sort of mercy we ourselves have received from God. Mercy given in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over into our laps. Before we leave this sermon, we must remind ourselves that we should be careful about how we practice our ethics. It's easy to, when doing it, to begin to judge other people, even condemn them. And this passage also weighs in against that. The ethic of Jesus does not allow us to set ourselves above others. Rather, it adjures us to remind ourselves that none of us is perfect and that all of us have imperfections which need attention. But it is not our responsibility to point out other people's faults. Rather, we are encouraged to attend to our own. Moreover, we are to employ God's mercy fully and forgive. Oh, these things are hard indeed. They are hard, and yet they are not required for our salvation. That's the miraculous part of it all. Salvation is always a free gift from God, God who mercifully loves us. But instead, this ethic is encouraged that we might live in community with one another and live out these values. These are the things that the children of the Most High do. Not because they are required, but because they are optional. Optional, but better for both us and our neighbors. The employment of these optional ethical values and actions are precisely the work that God envisions for us to do. It's a world where we forgive, where peace succeeds, where love abounds, where God thrives and lives among us. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.